All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, we got a Monday, we got a Super Bowl matchup, and we have plenty to talk about as your Rockets also beat the Golden State Warriors. So we have a full agenda on the playlist today. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects, all present and accounted for on the day after the conference championship games. But before we get to all that, a massive sporting event happened Friday night at Sam Houston Race Park. And Nick, I believe shortly after 7 o'clock, we struck up the band and the music began to play. If I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct.
You guys are...
This brings back so many good memories.
And not just any race at Sam Houston Race Park. Skip the horses. We went straight from the camel's mouth, and one of the three of us humped his way to a victory in a big media matchup under the bright lights.
It feels good to be a champion, a world champion, okay. A world champion camel racer.
Ye jockey of camels.
Give your camel some credit, too.
You know, here's the thing. All right. I would love to give the camel some credit, but I feel like I survived and won in spite of my camel. My camel was a crackhead.
No, man. This is a team. That's a team effort.
No. This was all
he should be crowned.
The jockey here. That was it.
Come on, Nick. If you don't know Barry, you don't know he paid his dues.
That's true.
Time after time.
Well, okay, so here's how it went down. So first thing, I'm running late, and I'm freaking out. I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to start, which they don't. They don't start till after race five, so it's plenty of time. So I get there. I go say hi to Fred, and Fred's like, you ready? I was like, I'm nervous. He said, dude, he just gave me some basic advice. He said, just kind of lean forward a little bit, grab hold of the bar in front of you, and just hang on tight. Just stay centered, and you're good to go. So I was like, all right, I can do that. That's easy. And then he goes, but hey, you got to watch the ostrich races first. But I don't want you to freak out, because the ostrich races are nothing like the camel races. So I was like, okay. And then I watched the ostrich races, and two of the four guys riding ostriches fall off of the ostriches in the middle of the race. So now, despite what he told me, I'm like, I'm going to die. There's no question in my mind I'm falling off this camel now.
Yeah, but when you're weighing the difference between being thrown off an ostrich with skinny legs and wings as opposed to a camel, which could really F you up with a hoof or a lot of other things.
Doesn't matter. It scared me to death.
You were given a warning that to try and choose one of the camels in the middle as opposed to...
So, first of all, shout out to the other... So, Melissa Wilson was one of, from Fox 26, was one of the folks in the race. I don't know who the other two were supposed to be. I think one from Houston Press and one from The Bull, 100.3 or whatever.
Right.
But they chickened out, so they didn't show up. So I went up to they gave me a few tickets to... We got to stay in the suite. So I'm up in the suite eating. And then this lady that works at Sam Houston Race Park was like, oh, this is my daughter. She's going to be racing. I was like, who is she? She was like, oh, she's just my daughter. I'm like, why is just your daughter riding? She was like, well, the other people chickened out. I was like, well, that's not cool. So they ended up replacing these two chickens with a lady's daughter that works at Sam Houston Race Park and just a guy that works there. So I eat, and then I decide, all right, I'm going to go down. And because I could see where they were holding the camels kind of off to the side. So I thought, I'm going to go over there and see what's going on. I'm going to go get to know the camels. So I walk over there and they're saddling up the last camel and it's not going well. As I walk up, the guy's like, Riley, stand up, damn it. Stand up, be still. And he's fighting a camel. I'm like, oh, my God, that's going to be my camel. That's going to be my camel, and I'm going to die on. Riley's going to murder me. because he won't be still. And this camel was so pissed. You couldn't, like, I was like, oh, this is not. The other three were just sitting.
I saw that.
The other three were just sitting there just chewing. And this guy is screaming and fighting this camel to get this half-ass saddle, half-roll cage thing on this camel. He finally does, and he's exhausted. He's sweating. I was like, dude, what's up with that camel? And he was like, oh, he's just a little cranky. What? Like, that took way too long just to be cranky.
When is a camel not cranky, though?
Well, and then I asked him, I was like, do these camels spit? Because we had to get that out of the way first.
Right.
And he goes, no, these don't spit. That's the ones with two humps. Sometimes they'll spit on you. But these one hump camels don't spit.
They're non-spitters?
Yeah, so I was like, good. That's good to know, first of all. That's very good to know. So then I was like, well, give me some tips on riding it. He goes, well, your first tip is you want to stay on top. I was like, all right, you know what? That's not really a tip, per se. So then he says, yeah, just what he says is you can either hold on to the hump, which is it's hairy. It's like really hairy. And I was like, but then if I'm
You've had experience with that, haven't you?
I was like, man, I don't want to hold on to this camel's hump because I don't want to make him angry if I'm pulling on his hair trying to hold on.
Yeah.
If he's bucking me and I'm pulling his hair.
I wouldn't hold on to his hump either.
No. So he said,
the hairy hump.
So he said, you can hang on to the bar, but he said, just hang on tight. Don't do anything, just hang on tight. Keep your legs down. Don't let them get behind you. Don't let them get in front of you. I was like, okay, I can do that. Well, then we have a rules meeting. They bring me and Melissa Wilson and the other two victims over. And then he basically says the same thing. And he's like, when you're in the starting gate, keep your arms in tight because the gate's real tight. Like the camel's touching the side. So your legs are also touching the side. So when you take off, if your legs are...
You can get crushed.
Yeah. If your legs are sticking out or your hands, you'll bust your hands up, your knuckles, your elbows. So he's like, just stay real tight. Keep your legs down. And then once you get out, you can kind of, spread out a little bit if you want to. So he tells us all that. And then he tells us now, I said, can you fall off? He goes, oh, yeah, you can fall. The saddle will move. I was like, what? And sure enough, when they mounted us up, my saddle just started leaning to one side.
Wait a second, but isn't that the whole point of a saddle?
Well, it's not even really a saddle because I'm sitting on the camel.
Did you see it? In the video, it's got the ballet bar training bar on one side, but not the other.
It's like it's a half-ass roll cage. It's just this little bar on the side. But, like, there's not really a saddle. That's just the stuff that they use to strap to the camel to keep the roll cage or whatever it is on there. So he was like, just be careful. Don't lean because that'll move on you. So then they make us sign waivers, which was not good.
Unnerving.
Yeah. And then the guy that works there who's also racing is signing his waiver. And I was like, he goes, hey, just remember when they take off, just keep your head up because we've had people break their nose and get black eyes. And I'm like, what? Like, why? He's like, because they'll buck. They'll buck on you. And I'm like, this is horrible. What am I doing?
Of course, you didn't get any of these warnings before signing up.
No. I just got, it'll be fun and for charity. So I'm scared to death to do this. So I signed the waivers reluctantly. We walk over and they tell us, they're going to meet us at the winner's circle. They don't even tell you how to get on the camel. They just walk up and go, all right, get on. And I'm like, how? Am I just going to jump on a camel's back? So then they bring this dude over and I feel like such a girl because he's like, he puts his hands on and I have to step on his hand and he raises me up.
That's the video we needed.
Yeah.
You try to hop on a camel by yourself, Joel. You know how tall they are?
I'm saying, but still, the guy doing the freaking joint
hands. There's no
stirrup. There should be a ladder or climb up the rail or something.
No,
what would have been funnier is the guy struggling with Camel Riley. That would have been hilarious.
Dude, that was so unnerving. But then I don't think I got Riley. I think Riley was like number two or number three. I was on camel number four, thankfully. Riley, at the end of the race, he just took a right turn before the finish line. He just turned right and started running at the crowd.
That's the one Melissa had?
No, she came in second, so she was on camel number two. So then we get in. So we get on the camels, and they walk us from one end, basically the winner's circle, which is in the middle of the track, down to the starting gate. And it's maybe 50 yards. And by the time we get down there, I'm already, my ass hurts so bad from this camel's hard back. And I'm just like, well, this is going to be terrible.
So his hairy bump was hard?
Are you just trying, aren't
you? I'm just asking.
You're just trying.
I'm just asking.
Let me finish. Let me get this out. And then you can do those. So we get there. They unmount us. And then they load up the camels. And I remember Christina saying, whatever you do, don't get the outside camel, the one closest to the stands, because they tend to head straight for the stands. And I have no control over that. So sure enough, what they do is they load my camel last in the outside, closest to the stands. I'm like, well, this is great. So then we get on, and while I'm in the starting gate, it's like really tight. Like, I'm really nervous that I am going to hit my knees or my arms when we take off. And then the guy that gets us loaded goes, now look, here's what you want to do. Put your feet up and grab the reins. I was like, that's not what the other guy said. He's like, no, trust me. I'm like, I don't know what to do now. Fred told me one thing. The other guy told me something. And you're telling me a third thing. And all of them are kind of different. So I just went with kind of what Fred said and the other guy said. I just like, I'm not grabbing the reins. I'm not putting my feet up. So then my camel starts getting anxious and jumping. And his head is rearing back. I'm like, oh, my God. This is, you can hear me on the video. I'm like, whoa, whoa, player. What are you, whoa. I'm nervous. And then just out of nowhere, we take off and it was over in 15 seconds. But as soon as we take off, my camel heads right for the rail. Just like she said it would. He goes right for the rail. By the time we finished, I'm right next to the rail. But the guy that filled in when it started, or no, sorry, the daughter, her camel just stopped. As soon as it started, she just stopped and turned around in a circle. So I was in third place. Melissa Wilson and the other dude were winning. And then as I started gaining on them, they just started veering off to the right. And then apparently they travel in packs like dogs. So when the one camel started going right towards the crowd, that's what the other one did. That's why I won. Because mine was by himself and went straight. This was your idea, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I won. And then you know what pissed me off the most about winning? I won. I felt like I was in a car wreck. I was so sore. My back hurt. My ass hurt. But then they're like, okay, everybody get in the winner's circle. I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. It's called the winner's circle. Not the winner and then the three losers circle.
I saw you like waving to the crowd and one arm up. And
yeah, why are we letting the losers into the winner's circle? What's up with that? This is my time to shine. I won this camel race. I am the world champion camel racer. Not these three losers. So then they all take pictures and they're like, okay, get off. I'm like, yo, where's my big ass check? Where's my trophy? John got a trophy.
Yep.
Fred said one year he got a big check when they won. I got none of that. They're like, get off. And that was it. I was done. I was like, I don't even know if St. Jude got paid the $500. I have no idea.
Well, I mean, once it got down to you racing someone's daughter, I think all bets were off in terms of the showmanship. But how about the bull? 100.3 full of BS. You don't even show for
chicken.
Something that's supposed to be right down your alley with country music and the horns on your logo. Go out there and grab them by the horns.
Just straight chickens.
That's terrible.
And then I talked crap to Melissa Wilson on Fox. I talked some mess to her, and I'm not proud of it. I mean, I am. I'm not gonna lie.
She's
so sweet. That is the nicest lady. Like, we were doing the rules meeting. She was so funny and very polite. But then I was just like, hey, I hope you were able to find some water to wash all the dust out of your mouth that me and my camel left on Twitter. And she was too classy to respond. I wasn't going to not
I was
talk.
worried for her, because when all the camels started heading right, I was like, oh, my God, she's the one where she could really get thrown.
Yeah,
because
she's not she's a tiny lady. Yeah. She could have easily. But I was sitting there thinking, I've got to do this, because if she's doing it, I'm going to look like the biggest chicken if I just say, no, I'm not doing this. Once Riley started freaking out and then my camels trying to rear up in the starting gate. But I lived. I survived. So there's if you go to facebook.com/Barry is funny, I posted the video of the race if you want to see it.
That's some good stuff.
Getting frustrated with Riley. Dude, I wish I saw that.
That was one of the worst parts of the whole night.
You were there, weren't you? You could have gotten the video.
No, I couldn't, man. I wish. I couldn't make it last minute. But I really did want to go. Okay.
But I have some of that. If you go to, also I did an Instagram story and kind of through the whole night, so you can go check that out too on my Instagram if you want to watch it. It's pretty funny. Some people are like, oh yeah, we've had a death before. I'm like, what? Don't tell me this now.
What?
Yeah,
the camel race. Like, I'd expect that. If you're going
it was the security guard. The security guard was messing with me, but he was like, oh yeah, we've had a death. I was like, what are you what?
But we're insured.
Yeah, but you
might not be, but we are.
You signed the waiver, right? Okay, well then it's good. No, it's not, because I can still die. It's not good. Not good at all.
All right, so check the videos out online. Also, you can reach us during the show several different ways. You can get us by checking our Twitter accounts, at Barry is funny, at The Producer Nick, and at Pac-Man Joel with a K. And, of course, our HRNP listener line is now wide open, 713-780-3776. Call or text that line. We'll also check that throughout the show, get the callers in that matter with something pertinent to get off your chest or get off your mind. We will be here for you as we just get getting started. It's The Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. I've told you about them for a long time. I've been going to Mike and Tammy Gustin, American Wheel and Tire, ever since I've been in Houston. Whether it be for repairs on a tire or a rim, or to get custom wheels and tires and other things for my SUV, they are the one-stop shop that takes care of you better than any other that I've ever seen. Because they're not a big nationwide store that's just going to try and ding you with lots of extra charges and maintenance fees and all different kinds of work that you didn't want, didn't ask for, and certainly didn't want to pay for. American Wheel and Tire is the best because they are honest, they do quality work, they communicate with you throughout the process, and once you're done, your vehicle is good as new, sometimes looking even better, and you're going to be proud of it, and you're going to want to come back because they are people. That's what I'm talking about. They want to talk to you throughout the process. They want to tell you what they're doing to your car. They want to see if there's anything extra they can do for you while you're there, and they just take care of business. So their name says American Wheel and Tire, so that obviously means they can fix and repair most tires and rims stock to custom, but they can also really give you a one-of-a-kind look on your vehicle, whether it's a lift kit, lights, step-up bumpers, Kevlar coating. It's all right there at your fingertips and all in their warehouse at American Wheel and Tire. Check them out at AmericanWheelandTire.com and see some of the great things they've done to a lot of vehicles in the Houston area. Or better yet, stop in and see them in person. It's 290 and 34th Street. It's American Wheel and Tire.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to CultureMap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's where you come because all we do is breed winners and success stories. Barry won on a camel. Keenan McCardell didn't get to the Super Bowl, but let's be honest. We let him go just so he could succeed, and he was the wide receivers coach for the Jaguars, who at least got there, and you know why I did what I just did.
Yeah, I saw Nick tweeting it out, or somebody tagged me, I guess, and they were like, Barry, or Barry's probably going nuts. I was like, actually, I think it's Joel that it bothers more than me. Yeah. I mean, it bothers me, but, you know, being from Texas and half stupid.
Here's the funny thing. So I don't have my computer open. I'm on my phone. So all I get is your response because they didn't tag me in the initial one, I don't think. So then Barry tags me in it, and I don't even have to go back. I go, let me guess. This is Jaguars. Because already Romo had said it like 56 times before we even got to kickoff. And I'm like, some producer in his ear might want to go, hey, Tone.
It's Jaguars.
You're on national TV. It's the Jaguars. I thought back. We had the beat writer for the Jags on during the season, and he even made sure. I asked him about it, and he made sure to say it. But on a national broadcast, that's a bad look. And by the way, Romo, a little bit too much overdone with the sound effects and the giddiness during the game.
Yeah, well, on that one play where the fumble was questionable, that his reaction was, that whole reaction, that was yes. Like, what do you sound
and
like right
he
now?
He doesn't want to do what he would do if he was at the bar with the guys or in the locker room watching the game and just go, oh, my God, that's a fumble. Look at that right there. He wants to make sure he's politically correct. He's like, I don't know, Jim. Boy, look, I'm going to need another angle there. Ooh, I don't know. Then shut up. Just wait till a decision is made and then tell him it was a horse bleep call. But don't sit there and give me like.
So I guess you're cold on Romo now as an announcer?
I still like him overall, but I think because of, you know, success can be your worst enemy sometimes. I think because he started getting positive pub for all the things that he was doing right, he started to overdo it.
You think?
I do. I think the sound effects.
This is probably, in terms of Twitter hate, this is probably the game that he got the most hate on.
I would venture to guess that what it is comfort. Like, that's probably who Tony Romo is
I would see that.
And so he's just being more of himself in the booth because he's more comfortable having done it now for a full season. So I would guess that he maybe is like that. Because I could see, well, I'm like that. I'll make sound effects like that, and I guess that's...
When you're throwing the sock at the TV?
Yeah. So when if it's coming out in his personality, you want him to be that guy that he is.
Sure, but at the same time, from a network perspective, when you have a producer and a director, that's when you kind of sometimes say, I know that's how you are, but you got to reel it in a little bit, because that's what you're going to do. You're going to generate a lot of negativity and reaction publicly. But at the same time, I mean, I'm watching. There's a guy, a CNN guy I've never heard of before, but he's tweeting, oh, okay, Romo, just because it's the biggest game you've ever been to in your life. And it's like, dude, you're taking shots at a guy that was a how many year NFL quarterback, and you are some random CNN dude that wants to get noticed, and you're making a comment like that because you're a quote-unquote Panthers fan? Shut the hell up.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think sometimes people say they want realness. They don't want somebody that's totally. It's kind of like with politicians, right? Everybody's like, I don't want a politician anymore. I don't want someone that's just polished and gives me a politically correct answer or a politician's answer. I just want a real person. And then you get one, and you're like, I don't really want this necessarily. I don't think I want this. I want a blend. I want a politician that has some realness.
You want someone that thinks out of the box, not someone that just completely pees all over.
And I think that's how it is with broadcasters. You don't want someone that's just over the top polished, but you don't want someone that sounds like an idiot.
Well, there's a reason why John Madden was so loved by so many, because he didn't care and didn't ever want to change what the textbooks say on how to be a broadcaster. He just wanted to be an ex-coach and a football fanatic that sat there and gave you sound effects and called it like he saw it. And Gruden, to some degree, is also the same way. But if you take it too far, like the Dennis Miller experiment and some of the things they did on Monday Night Football, sometimes that's when people are like, I still need that touch of analysis. And
I need one foot in reality, one foot in the, that's...
You got to toe the line a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at the same time, look, I'm not hating on Tony. I just thought all the noises sounded like a cartoon porn festival or something like that in some of the situations he was calling during the game. Even, I think, at some point, Jim Nantz got a little annoyed a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
I watched it. I had to go and get some work done on my truck, so I ended up going to Saltgrass, which was kind of just a quarter of a mile down the freeway.
Down the farm.
So I walked down to Saltgrass and watched most of it from there, so I didn't really get much play-by-play. And then I ended up watching the rest of it, like the last 20 minutes at the repair shop. So it was, I guess maybe since I wasn't just in the house having to listen to it, that's why I guess it didn't bother me that much. But
well, as we normally do on Mondays and Fridays, Charlie Polillo's in the on-deck circle, and he's warming up to join us as a person of interest. So he'll join us from 1:30 to 2. We'll start to get into the brass tacks and the bare bones of what happened yesterday on Championship Sunday, and get his thoughts on some things, kick around some takes on the two games, and then go from there. So if you want to join the show, Charlie's going to be here next, but get your thoughts together and then join us down the road after Charlie steps on in. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us up on Twitter. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5. So I spit my foolish flow, my hands go up and down, like
strippers' booties go. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Charlie is off the on-deck circle and in the box. It's Nick, Barry, Joel, and Charlie Polillo from 1:30 to 2, as he normally joins us. Coming up from the other side, the dark side, the sports map side, 94.1 FM, where he does 11 to 1 weekdays. And then Mondays and Fridays slides over for a half hour with us because we just can't get enough of the Chuckster. So what's up? Softball was yesterday, and then took in the two ball games yesterday?
I did. Is it bright in here, or is that just your aura?
It's just, it's kind of like what I exude it on Mondays coming off of a weekend.
Yes, I watched both games yesterday. Skimmed through Vikings-Eagles once it got lopsided. The Case Keenum-Minnesota bubble bursting so close to the Super Bowl on their home field. But, well, at least he should still be becoming obscenely rich in the next few months. And the Patriots. I understand why so many people hate them. Spygate, Deflategate.
Right.
But isn't the single biggest factor good old-fashioned jealousy?
It has to be.
I think so.
When you win, everybody hates you. Yeah. I know, I know. As a world champion, I understand it.
You do realize
world champion,
that...
Oh, Astros fan?
No. Barry won the camel races at Sam Houston Race Park.
World champion? I didn't know that was the world championship.
Well, it is.
Finally have gotten over the hump.
Oh, my God!
You had to get yours in, too.
Little camel race humor. Very little. Yeah. As a novice? You did it as a novice and
yes.
You won the whole thing?
Well, I mean, there was three other people, and they
Doesn't
were all
matter.
Novices. But, you know, I'm a world
Charlie,
champion in my
no
mind.
No one remembers second. No one's going to know that he beat Melissa Wilson and two stepchildren.
That's right. The way I see it is if the Aggies
gold
can be national
gold.
Champions and the Major League Baseball... you know, championship can be the world champion, then I can be a world champion camel racer.
World champion camel
That's right.
racer.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So you're in the presence
you're
of greatness.
You're next, by the way.
Ever smoked a camel?
Yes.
No.
Like, well, like, what do you mean? Do you mean sexually or like?
I mean, like the instant
a cigarette.
HOV lane
smoking
of cancer.
Smoking a camel can
Aren't
give
those
you
about
like
the worst?
Some sores on your lips. So you got to be careful.
Yeah, well.
I mean, it's just, these kind of things go around sometimes.
Yes,
you guys.
As a former smoker, yes. I would, if I had to borrow one, yes, I did. Not the other
so
way.
So it's down, though. It's, I never actually raced one, but they set you up with the top of the stretch and it's a
yeah, I mean, it's 100 yards. It's not very far, but, it felt like a...
Never came close to falling off, I take it, if you won.
Oh, yeah, no, at one point my ass was above the hump because it's such a rough ride, like you bounce. It was way above, what, Joel?
He's just got a field day of audio he can get from that.
For a 7-year-old, maybe?
No, Nick, they were good.
Oh, God.
So does this now
I can't
obligate
say anything.
You to, does this obligate you to run again next year? You have to defend your crown?
Well, yeah, I'm totally going to do it, even if they don't ask me. I'm just showing up. I'm going to defend my championship, of course.
You got to name the camels?
He named his own. Or...
I named mine Alexander Camelton. So you get to name them.
That's not bad.
I put it up to a vote. I can't take credit for it. I had people
what
give me suggestions.
Second?
Second was Camelo Anthony. Yeah. Joel had the best one. He said, just name it toe. And that somebody was like, well, they did that last year. So damn it. I wanted to go with that. That was the best one.
You could have gone Camel
toe
Newton.
Toe the camel.
Camel Newton, too, wasn't what I threw in there. But yeah, I mean.
Alexander Camelton.
You kind of fit the bill. I mean, you get yourself some slick, shiny duds. You could get in there next year and give him a run for his money.
Would you do something like that, Charlie? Are you a risk taker?
What was the prize?
$500. No, $500 for the charity of my choice.
That's pretty good. What's your charity of
St.
choice?
St. Jude.
That's a good one also.
Yeah. So now I don't know if they're paying them. I didn't get the big check. I didn't get anything. They just said, get
no
off the camel.
Up?
No, get
did
off
they do
the camel.
A winner's circle?
No, yeah. No, well, but they let the losers in the winner's circle. I'm like, since when did it become the, you know, the winners and the losers
circle? It was
circle?
For charity, Barry. Classic. There were no losers.
No, there were three losers, in fact. Three big losers and one badass winner.
It's supposed to be a media race, and the bull, 100.3, backed out.
Yeah.
Didn't show.
Chicken bleep over there at the bull.
And one other media outlet.
Basically unfamiliar with
the station. Houston Press and 100.3, the bull, are scared. They were scared of how dominant I was going
to
be.
Used to be messed with the bull,
you
get the
horns.
Did
they show up and then said, wait, I'm not doing this?
No, they didn't even show up. You know
well,
who's the
weak.
Boss?
That's
Melissa
Wilson.
Melissa Wilson at Fox 26 showed up, gave me the race of my life, came in second place, was very close. Props to her.
Was there a weight allowance? Did they throw like an extra 30 pounds on her camel or 80 pounds on her camel to even it up with wherever you took
80,
the scales?
Charlie, 80?
I left a wide berth there.
80?
We're in the midst of a...
I ran this morning, Charlie. Cut me some slack.
Yeah, we're in the midst of a weight loss challenge over here. What are you doing?
God, 80. He's like, did they have to put three people on her camel? Come on, man. God.
Well, I don't think she's 6'3", 200, right?
Don't skirt the issue, though.
What do you weigh?
191.
All right, so Melissa Wilson's how tall?
She's probably a buck 25. That's close to 80 pounds.
So I was close. Yeah. I'm pretty close to winning both showcases with my 80 pounds.
So essentially next year, if you race Melissa Wilson, she's got to put sandbags on her camel?
No, he would have to.
Yeah, if you're going to take a shot,
I mean, take it the right way.
Fair enough. I did kind of screw that one up.
Well, congratulations. I didn't expect to be in the presence of greatness.
I know.
In addition to Joel.
I'll, you want me to sign something for you?
No.
Have him sign your hump.
He's like, no. No, I'm not signing his hump,
you
Joel.
You can sign some humps. Okay, so you watched.
So while you're actually on, from when they say go, do they
fire a pistol?
You have to
watch the video. He has videos. He has a GoPro. He has all kinds of videos.
I'm really not that interested.
If you listen to the show, you don't have to hear about it. You can see it.
45 seconds?
15 seconds max.
Oh, is that fast?
It was pretty quick.
So you have enough time to get scared?
Yeah.
You're looking around? I cursed like three. I can't believe I'm doing this?
I cursed like three times.
In Arabic?
Nope, just regular old cursing. I thought I was going to come up off of the camel a couple times, so that's when it got scary. But, yeah.
Security was not a priority.
That and the fact that it headed straight at the rail. Like, as soon as we came out of the gate, it just beelined for the rail. And you don't really notice it.
It's a pretty smart camel.
You don't really notice it.
Well, if it's a straightaway, it doesn't matter to get the rail.
But it was when by the time we crossed the finish line, I could have reached out and touched the rail. That's how close we were as we were
and
running. It was scary.
Security wasn't of the utmost importance because he had one sidebar rail, which was on the other side, and he's just facing the rail on the right side.
It would have broken your fall.
What? The dirt?
The rail.
No, that's not the side I could have felt. I was going to fall to the inside.
So
was
it a simple little one-sheet waiver, or are there like 17 there pages like 17, of signing your life away?
Yes. There were several. I felt like it was redundant, but it was
is it a bigger risk if you get thrown or if you fall off and you get camel stomped?
I would say the falling off part, because you run the risk of having others trample you.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they'll rear up, but I don't think that happens often. But I think falling off it, I could see, because at one point, if you watch the video, you can see me get airborne. And if I wasn't holding onto the bar, I would have been off of that camel. So,
any of the camels actually spit?
Nope.
He asked them, because we were giving him a hard time about it last week. So he actually asked. Forward thinking, and he asked the guy, and the guy said these don't.
Because Joel had me scared to death. He was like, "Oh, you're gonna get spit on," nope. And you know, with your OCD and your fear of germs, that's going to be.
You would have had to be a real a-hole if the camel's going to turn his neck all the way around just to spit at you.
Well, yeah. Well, I was over there watching him try to saddle him up and all that, and that was when I asked.
But you, who likes to file both useful and useless knowledge, he was told that the two hump camels spit and the one humps do not.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on one hump
camel? A one hump camel. That is correct. A one hump camel.
So you didn't know that, and now those file it under the things you did not know. Now, next year, you have your option. You can either go ostrich or you can go camel, but you can partake.
Yeah, I was invited once a few years ago. And
why didn't you do it?
Something
scared?
Came up.
Oh, what? Fear? Mm-hmm.
Defined as anything. Yeah, lunch.
Grocery shopping. Had to get it done. The potential hurricane coming.
Uh-huh.
By the way, they tell him to wear a helmet and go buy one. They don't supply anything.
Well, really? Oh, no, they did. They did. I was the only one that showed up with a helmet because the other two didn't know they were going to be racing until that day. But Melissa Wilson didn't bother to bring a helmet with her. I had one, but I was going to wear the GoPro, so I had to have something. And then they were like, "You guys don't have helmets?" They were like, "No, we didn't know we were supposed to have them." So they went and got helmets from jockeys that were there racing that day to let them borrow to ride. So, yeah, I was the only one prepared enough to bring my own helmet.
Melissa seems very graceful and gracious. So was your video splashed all over 26's morning show today?
No, I talked trash to her, so I don't think that when it was over with, I kind of trash talked her on Twitter. And so I don't think she was going to do that.
Doesn't shock you, does it? Not in the least.
Not really.
I mean, if I would do it, I'm not going to not do it just because she's nice. I'm trash talking to anybody. So
you're worse as a sore winner than as a sore loser.
No, I just said I don't think so. It wasn't too bad. It was just a quick little parting shot on Twitter. But I said it was nice to meet you. So that there you go. Right?
And she said, yes, it was.
She didn't say anything.
For you to meet her.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah, probably.
Well, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay, well.
Taking it to the break off that?
You just go do what you got to do.
I had a message here for Roof MD and General Contracting, because after all, isn't it the whole point? Hey, free roof inspections. If you are a homeowner, you should be doing this annually. And when it's free, why the heck would you not? Mark Donaldson's the MD in Roof MD and General Contracting. Lifelong Houstonian. Everything he does here is local. No job too small or too big. The same way he treats his family, his neighbors, friends for whom he does work. Free roof inspection for the asking. If you need work, zero down for 12 or 18 months, low interest, low monthly payment plans of longer duration. On the contracting side, window replacement, drywall repair, insulation, fencing, painting, gutters, and, of course, roofing. I repeat, inspections are always free, so just give Mark and Company a call, get on the books, and get it taken care of. Again, you should be doing this once per year. 832-967-ROOF, and it's not a come on. There's no, well, the inspection's free if you buy this. It's a free roof inspection. 832-967-ROOF. 832-967-ROOF. That's Mark and his team at Roof MD and General Contracting. Work in. You heard that on ESPN 97.5.
There you have it. We got one more segment left to go with Charlie, so don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more of The Usual Suspects in just mere minutes right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Just getting started in hour number one of the three-hour extravaganza. Charlie joins us. Charlie Pullillo, as he normally does Mondays and Fridays up till 2 o'clock. We spent the first segment catching up and giving Charlie some education on how the West was won, so to speak, in the Humpin' to Please Camel classic that was Friday night.
And new show theme. It could be Bobby Brown's old hit.
Humping Around. I like
good
it.
Good call.
Yeah, that's not one that we thought of yet, huh?
No, I had Black Eyed Peas My Humps.
Okay.
Nick pointed out that Melissa Wilson did respond to my trash talk, and of course it was classy. She said, thank you. It's going to take a lot more, because I, when I tweeted her, I was like, hey, I you know, it was nice to meet you. I hope you found some water to rinse all the dust out of your mouth that me and my camel left. And she put, thank you. It's going to take a lot more than water to get me over the excruciatingly painful camel ride. Yeah, it hurt. It was, but she's classy all the way.
It was 15 seconds, you said, right?
15 to 20, yeah.
When you see the video,
it's about 25 seconds. Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, as soon
it's
as we were done,
automatically bumpy if you're on a camel.
But,
you know,
I mean, I can't speak. Barry can speak to it, but just from watching it, it may only be 15 seconds. But I'm sure when you're partaking in something like that, it feels like a lot longer.
I thought, you know what seemed like a lot longer?
Like a rodeo bull, right?
Right.
He lasts eight seconds. You stop this crazy thing!
I'll tell you what felt like, the buildup felt like it took forever. Waiting and then getting and then sitting in the starting gate, that felt like it took forever. But the race itself, I was half scared, half laughing hysterically because it was fun.
See, I would think,
at the same time as frightening.
So you're like a long ago early Mike Tyson opponent.
Pretty
all the
much.
Build up, the walk
yes.
to the ring, introduce
and then
the
don't go get a snack.
15 seconds, except you
boom.
Won as
yeah.
opposed to Tyson's
yeah.
opponent.
Yeah.
But you came
yeah.
out of it feeling, ow.
But at
yeah.
the same time, I'm not sure I would have been up in the suite filling up with food and bev and then getting down on a camel to take the ride of your life. I'd be like,
yeah.
Wait, you ate before?
Yeah.
Yeah, my brother-in-law goes, hey, man, you better poop. And I was like, nah, I'll be good. And then about, I don't know, 30 minutes in, I was already down there and it was too late. I was like, uh-oh. This is negative. I'm going to be the guy forever known as the dude that crapped himself yeah. riding a camel. That's going to be great. That'll be my legacy.
He sharted in the middle yeah. of the 15-second run.
Just a splish of streak down
right,
the camel's back.
Well, I'm still mad about the bull, by the way. If you're the bull and you chicken out, you got castrated.
Well, there you go. You just renamed them.
What, you're the cow?
103, the chicken.
The chicken. I like it. Uh-huh. I think that's it. From now on, it's 100.3, the chicken.
When it comes to upholding our commitments, we don't give a clock.
Nope.
Hey.
100.3, the chicken.
Charlie's
look
on fire.
Charlie bringing
I do
it.
Want to say that, you know, this station has a long line of winners in this race. Jong has won this race when he beat Jerome Solomon, which he got a trophy, by the way. I did not. Fred last year was the winning trainer of the winning camel and got a big check.
Wait, a trainer?
Which I did not.
For a 15
well,
second
do you really think
race?
Fred's going to win if he gets up on that camel?
They wouldn't let anybody ride last year, which is, again, no one told me until it was too late.
Train?
It was so dangerous, they stopped putting people on the camels. They would get people at the track that were riders to ride the camels. Why they decided that it was all of a sudden safe now, I don't know.
So you're saying not only did you win, you were darn near heroic.
I mean, I don't want to call myself a hero, but yeah, I'm a hero.
Yeah, he really does. All right, so because we don't have you for much longer, your take on what you witnessed yesterday in the two championship games. I caught you a little bit on the way in. I know there's a large contingent of people building, mainly from the South Florida area or Florida area, thinking the officials played a big role in that Patriots win. But let's be honest. I mean, Barry and I were talking about it before the show even started. When they were down and Brady got the ball, there were a couple times you just thought, it's over. They're going to come back and win this.
My one question is the Jack fumble recovery on the double reverse pass. Deion Lewis, where he strips him,
Miles
pulls
Jack,
the ball out. Miles Jack rolls over, comes up with the ball. He was never touched down by contact. Now, when the whistle's blown, the play is dead. But the officials are not supposed to blow the whistle. You let it play out because then you can come back and, okay, he was down by contact. And Miles Jack may have taken that the other way for a touchdown. It makes it 27-10. My question, and I said bad job CBS for not addressing this, from Nance and Romo to their 17 production assistants and whoever else, is there a rule that if the ball is bobbled, that you're considered down by contact, even if you don't secure the recovery of the ball until you're separated from the contact? Because CBS showed 5-6 different angles. Lewis, did he re-secure it against his hip? No, not enough. So it's a fumble recovery. But once Jack has the ball, he juggles a little bit. And by the time he has it, he's away from Lewis. No Patriot touches him. He gets up. He's running.
Yeah,
we were talking about it in our production meeting and saying they were, I don't know. There was contact between the two of them, obviously, as they went all the way to the ground. But the ball still was ruled to be bobbled until it became free. And at that point, Jack recovered it. One, the officials screwed up because they blew the whistle. So you can't just go, well, because after further review, he could have run it back. Well, woulda, coulda, shoulda. You can't give him a touchdown for that. So that doesn't happen. Two, you got Mike Pereira in the booth for Fox Games. Why don't you have a rules official, to answer your question, to be right there right now to say, you know, what's his name was a disaster, the last head official that they had
Mike
do this. Mike Carey.
Yeah.
But get somebody that at least can shuffle through the rule book and state whether it was an ex-official or, like you said, someone on the production side to go, here's what the rule book states, because it really could have been a game changer.
If it's 27-10, I know then Brady was Brady, the Patriots were the Patriots, but if they're down 27-10 in the fourth against that defense, they're probably not pulling it out. And CBS didn't even address that component of the play.
I would be lying if, with my, you know, terrible eye, that I didn't think that he was down and still he had the ball on his hip when
it's
he was
touched.
It's a
tough call live at full speed. And I don't blame the officials for
But saying that it stood, it. I would have just, if they would have came back and said, look, he still had the ball in his possession on his hip when he was touched, he was officially down, so we're reversing the call and saying he was down, I would have been fine with that.
Here's my question,
that's the
too.
Other thing nobody talked about. They just told me, oh, yeah, okay. The case could be made that that was not a fumble.
Well, but because here's where I was going with that. Because of the fact that this has been so scrutinized this year from a catch perspective, once you make the catch, when you take it to the ground, having to have to secure the ball, that's where you look at it and go, I think in another year, opposite of one that had so much scrutiny on this exact type play and replay, it looked like he secured it against his hip when he was down on the ground. And I was like, oh, Lord, if they decide to make that call after this year and the fact that it's the Patriots, all hell could break loose.
Yeah, and other than that, so many people just love conspiracy theories for the fun of them. The way that call was made would at least fly in the face of, well, the league, the Patriots get all the breaks, which I don't understand anyway. Brady got 4 games last year, Kraft's threatening to sue the league and all that. The league does not want the Patriots to win. Though, as it works out, you know, NBC's much happier with a Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl than a Jaguars Super Bowl. But it's the Super Bowl. We're all going to watch anyway.
Right. And you got to appreciate the fact that, because to the point you were making, I think it was the Post in New York that had the greatest headline of all, 3 men and a Brady was the lead-in to the 2 games yesterday.
Not as good as their headline years ago, Headless Body and Topless Bar. But not bad.
Okay. I don't know what that was. What was
it was the Post headline quipping off some murder in a strip club.
Oh. Yeah. I thought it was like a sports story. I'm going, oh, no, you go with that.
I did mention that, hey, congratulations to Nick Foles. You have risen to be one of the 3 quarterbacks that no one thought that doesn't stand a chance in the Super Bowl because, I mean, essentially that's what it was, right? If Brady makes it, you had these other 3 guys that no one was giving a chance to, really. So, hey, Nick Foles, cream of the crop when it comes to guys that were doubted in the playoffs.
But the Eagles bring a serious defense, as the Jaguars did. And Jacksonville gave the Patriots about all they could handle at Foxborough. So, I don't think it's a slam. The Eagles are the biggest Super Bowl underdog in 9 years. But they're eating up this underdog thing with the dog hats and all that
stuff.
Yeah,
they're loving it. So you're picking them?
I have a week and a half to say, well, no, I'm not picking them. Yeah. But that, oh, it's inevitably a Patriots wipeout in the Super Bowl. I don't think that necessarily.
I also thought it was amusing. We know he's going to get paid, but everybody was ready to throw Case Keenum out and blame the whole thing on him during the game. Viking fans, your quick thoughts on that? Because, look, the guy, you aren't there without him. Right. And then all of a sudden, because, look, he on the fumble, he was hit by Long. On the pick, he was hit in the throwing motion. It wasn't like he just blatantly stared down someone and decided to give up the rock twice. I mean, that defense was all over him.
He wasn't good, but he pretty much had 52 teammates company. Yeah. And after a first drive, it's like, whoa. They go down the field, run past Blunt. He floats that beautiful touchdown pass to Kyle Rudolph, and they should have forfeited right then.
Yeah, just call it right there. All right, well, you have yourself a good week, my friend. You can, again, catch Charlie 11-1 Monday through Friday on our sister station, 94.1 The Sports Map, 94.1 FM. We will talk to you again on Friday.
Okay. Rockets are good. People need to watch them more. That's all.
They're good again?
We're going to get to that. Yeah, we're going to get to that. And if you talk to Clint Capella, they're not just good. They're the best.
Easy, Clint.
So before we get to anything more, I want to tell you about my good friends at Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac and his crew do a fantastic job. I've told you about Brandon here on our staff who went over there the other day after pricing furniture across town. Not only did he save thousands of dollars on what he would have spent somewhere else, but there were no back order slips where the other places said he'd get the delivery in about a month. He got it that same day. He was saved money. Their delivery guys were great customer service ambassadors as they moved furniture and took away things that he didn't want and made sure that that new furniture was everything he wanted and more. It's the way they do business at Gallery Furniture, and what they say is what they do, and nothing short of that will be acceptable to Mac and his crew. So right now, when you buy $4,000 or more of Gallery Furniture at any of the three locations, you get 36% back in free accessories. And oh, by the way, they are once again doing that win it all, get it all promotion for the Houston Astros. It was such a big success for you, the customers, last year. He's doing it again. He's calling it the Win It All, Get It All 2.018, which means, again, if you go and spend $3,000 or more in bedroom furniture at Gallery Furniture and the Astros win it all again, you would get it all free. That's the way they do business at Gallery Furniture. Check them at one of their three locations. It's the Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland. It is the Post Oak Galleria location across from Dillard's. And, of course, the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker. And like everything else they do, their slogan says it all. At Gallery Furniture, they really will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.